for your opening talk on subject tonight. I guess, as Freddie's explained, it's more of a almost like a Wednesday workshop meeting. For anyone who's never attended a SPGB Discord meeting before, there is a speaking queue in the left-hand side of each. And if you just want to indicate that you wish to ask a question of what Freddie said tonight or make your own contribution, that would be excellent. Thanks very much. So is there anybody up first to ask a question? Jordan?
Yoda, okay. Yeah, I mean, obviously the general idea was what can be done like after all the COVID restrictions are up. I think the idea of like a festival and stuff is like dope. Obviously you guys know I do music here and there. So, I mean, I've been involved in setting up shows a lot. I've never done a festival because that's like even more complicated than even just a regular show. But it could be done. You know, you just need to have like a decent amount of time in advance to plan it. You know, promotion and stuff, obviously. But yeah, that would be really sick. Obviously, it would probably need to be something like, you know, socialist, at least socialist leaning artists. So that might be a little harder to think through. But I think you could probably work it out somehow. That'd be sick. But aside from that, the idea of a podcast, I think, I don't know why you guys. So there's this thing called Anchor. Anchor, if it's free, you can like release podcast episodes to everything, Spotify, Google Podcasts, everything, you know, for free. You know, like I think you can record it on your phone off there, but I know you can definitely submit it, like whatever recordings you have as podcast episodes. You know, I think that'd be a good idea. That also, like, maybe not even full on episodes, but like maybe just reading some of the articles from the Socialist Standards. You know, I've seen some parties will like read their articles and like post them on SoundCloud. You know, some people prefer to hear audio versus reading. You know, there was something else you said that I thought. I think you mentioned YouTube. That YouTube, yeah, that's another thing that people should just stop overall sleeping on. Like, YouTube is like the number one way pretty much at this point. I mean, obviously Twitter and Facebook and stuff too, but yeah, just YouTube for sure is like a big resource. And I feel like there's enough content, you know, again, just maybe reading articles from, you know, even just past standards or current ones and stuff like that.
I feel like there was one more thing you'd mentioned though.
Reaching out to like maybe other parties to like debate or something, like that would be really sick to like get back into like a culture of doing that pretty often. I mean, that's pretty much all I think I really had to say. If I think anything else, I'll go back in queue, but yeah.
Thank you, Jordan. Freddie, do you want to come back on that, or do you want me just move on to Steve?
If you don't mind, Dan, just one thing. I mean, when I was talking about a sort of festival type thing, I think I did mention there about, you know, I'm not expecting anything like Glastonbury, but even if we had some sort of hall type affair, where we had a sort of music night, etc. And planned it and advertised it beforehand. And if we had some members who were willing to sing or whatever it might be at this, I think it's an idea that could be developed. I don't imagine for a moment anything like Glastonbury, but I can see where interested people would turn up, not necessarily socialists, but people whom are inclined to be thinking forward. Now, if I've got this wrong in the sense that I understand that the conference there agreed to, not using the expression fellow travellers, but to try and have some sort of coordinated activities. I think conference agreed to that. This went out to the vote. What's happened on it, I don't know yet. I mean, I've submitted my paper on it. But along those lines, something just a bit different or something new. And when I spoke about, like, the weekend school, trying to do something like that also, like the Burnwin Weekend School, but more going out onto the streets and meeting up and handing out leaflets, etc., whether it be like trade union conferences or whatever it might be, targeting them and really doing as best we can with the numbers that we have available to us. Thanks.
Thank you, Freddie. Steve is next in the queue. Do you want to unmute, Steve?
Yeah, I think I might have my volume a bit low. Can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yes,
hello, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah. All right, cheers. Yeah, just to back up what you were saying earlier about, well, both you and Jordan, about the use of audio. I think that it's absolutely vital that we get more and more into that. And and as you're already aware now, Freddie, we've got this stuff on the website where we've recorded these meetings. That the entire thing about the website, though, it needs to be, we need to get that better, and that is being looked at the minute. So one thing, that why do I think audio? Because basically it seems to be that a lot of people just don't bother bloody reading anything anymore. So I think we have to do that type of thing. We need, and as I said, we're on this audio visual committee. We've been a bit snookered recently because we've not got the technology available within. In individual members don't seem to have the technology available to be able to produce reasonable quality recordings. So we might have to think about investing in a bit of reasonably cheap equipment so that we can go and record people doing this, doing audios. Just very briefly, one other thing. We will be, Manchester branch will be attending that Diggers Festival, which is in September, and we'll make sure that everybody up north knows about it, and hopefully we'll see you there, Freddie. All right, that's it for now.
Yeah, thanks for that, Steve. There's that information there about the Diggers Festival. I know that the one that I went to, and it must be a couple of years ago now, it was lashing down all day. It was, you know,
that's right.
The pavements were
flooded, man. What do you expect?
Yeah. But it's this sort of thing as to how, not just perhaps relying solely on Manchester branch to do that, where we could perhaps collectively, I don't know if it could work or not, but collectively, if I don't mind telling you, I was talking to a comrade from the Northeast the other day, he was expressing some sort of interest in this sort of thing. So it's not entirely, I'm not expressing entirely all my own views on this. I'm also expressing some of the views of the Yorkshire-based discussion group members when I'm speaking to them on Zoom, having them. But again, it's trying to get those who don't enjoy doing Zoom, etc., that want the physical presence. It's how we can perhaps try and plan ahead on that. And when you mentioned there, Steve, about somebody perhaps used to this sort of audio thing, there is a comrade that lives in Sheffield. It was him that told me he'd be quite happy to try and get involved in it, and that's because he does.
Do you mean David? Do you mean David?
Yeah, Dave Karatsu.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah. Dave Karatsu and I keep in touch with each other quite a lot, and Dave said he'd be quite happy to try and help out in that if he could.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'll move on to Dougie now. Dougie's next in the queue. Anybody else wants to ask a question, please put your indicator in the queue. Thank you.
Yeah, just a plug for Lancaster branch. I mean, a few years ago, we did a yawn thing just near Carnforth, you know, And, you know, there was about 26 people turned up, some people from IWW and Midlay Party members from all over the country. And we had a social, you know, with drinks and you know, cooking food together and, you know, staying in a dorm and thing. I mean, I know the party likes to attend things and hand out leaflets, but, I mean, I had the experience with Bob Beckett a few years ago. We got 50 standers every month and put them round doors in Lancaster, trying to cover quite a bit of the town, and we got no response from it, really, you know. And it can be the same with handing out leaflets, really, you know. I think sometimes it's good to do stuff for party members and their friends or whatever, people who are close, and, you know, it can be very enjoyable. We had about 25, 26 people at Yeeland, and everybody had a good time. The weather was good, and you could go for walks and things, and there was good political discussion, really, you know. And Birmingham is good. I mean, I recommend it, Freddie. Yeah. It's a social afterwards and, you know, meeting members from all over the country, really, you know. I think sometimes we should do things in our own interest, not just trying to hand out leaflets or give people standards when they're not interested, really, you know. But because I think it is good to attend events. I've been to the Diggers Festival a few times, helping out with Manchester. I'm not sure if we got any response from anybody for that. I've recognised a few people from other political trends when I've been there, really. But it's worth having a stroll there, really, you know. Okay, I think that's all I wanted to say, really.
Thank you, Dougie. Brian Johnson's next in the queue. Thank you.
Freddie, there was... think for a long time, you know, that it more or less deserted the streets. I mean, many years ago, they used to have outside platforms. Hyde Park, Tower Hill, there used to be one up in Birmingham, would set up the platform and give a talk. Them days are long gone. Can't compete, first of all, with the traffic, right? Secondly, we can't attract the crowds anymore, as we used to with outdoor platforms. Right. What we can do is set up street stalls more than we're doing at present. I think there's only about, the party's only got about two street stalls going. Right. The one that we use in Cardiff is very productive. So, I've got to say, I enjoy it very tremendously. What we found in Cardiff is that the street stall gives us the advantage to talk with the working class. They approach us, right? And we've got to talk at their level because they come forward with loads and loads of different types of questions. Right? Now, the other thing is attending festivals and trade union events and political conferences, etc. Now, we used to, at one time, attend the Tall Paddle Marches down in Dorset. That is still going, I know, but we haven't attended for many, many years. You know, that needs to be revived. And you also mentioned having a festival of some sort, Freddie, with music attached. We need the first-hand experience of that taking place. And the only one that I know of that takes place was a mixture of music and political debate and discussion, etc. is the one that takes place every year. Organized by the Communist Party in France. It's placed just outside of Paris. I think we attended this once. I think it was Gary Slapper attended it once. He did give it a bit of a talk there. But nothing came of that. You know, but it'd be well worth attending it in force by taking along a couple of tables with our literature, in appearance, and also to get the hang of what actually takes place and how it's organised, etc. See if we could make some use of it over here.
Thank you, Brian. Freddie, do you want to come back on any of that, or do you want me to ask how to make it?
Yeah, Dan, only in the sense, I mean, I well remember as a former member of Glasgow branch, the street platform we used to have outside down near George Square, where hundreds would obviously up and speak, and they were well attended. I mean, you know, I'm not talking hundreds at a time. But we, you know, we'd get a good crowd of 40, 50, 60 people on occasions at that, at the outdoor speaking. So, but, you know, I mean, members think that sort of thing is not viable or sort of feasible anymore, then, you know, I respect that. But it's certainly in terms of going and trying to where to say, some organized trade unions, for example, having a conference, although I don't think they use Blackpool anymore. I can't remember why, but I don't think they use Blackpool anymore. Going there and doing the leaflets. I mean, has anyone any idea, for example, yet how well this thing's going in Glasgow for the COP conference? And also, yeah, well, I'll leave it at that because I was going to come back, also mention there about the results at Folkestone and Cardiff. But has anyone got any idea what's happening yet with the COP conference in November? Are we getting members coming forward for that or whatever?
Okay, I mean, if anybody could answer Freddie's question, please, you know, indicate in the queue, please. Also, before I ask Howard, if other people want to make a contribution or raise any questions, again, please. Indicate in the queue. Howard's next.
Thanks, Darren. Well, everything changes, and ways we've had of communicating our ideas in the past, as several people have said, are just not there anymore. I mean, outdoor platforms, we've had outdoor platforms over decades in which loads of people have sort of stood there and listened to us and heckled us and or agreed with us or whatever. It's been a pretty productive way of putting the case, but that's been gone for some time now for all sorts of reasons. You just can't do it. People won't listen if you do. And I think that's over. Jordan talked about reaching out to other parties to debate. And I don't know what things are like in the States, but that's another time-honoured method we've had of putting the case over the years. There's actually a Wikipedia page with a long, long list of debates the parties had with other organisations over decades, over the years. And if you look at that Wikipedia page, there isn't that much over the last 10 or 20 years. Some of the debates actually aren't there, but nevertheless, it's an indication that it's not something we've been able to organise. Other organisations are not particularly interested in doing that. And sometimes, at, say, election time, for example, you can organise debates with other parties. But even there, the trouble is that what tends to happen is the people attracted are our own supporters and the supporters of the other organisation we're debating with. We're unlikely to change their minds in a debate, and there are very, very few neutrals whose minds might be there to be changed. So these are various ways in which we've put the case in the past, and we can't sort of feasibly use anymore, being a bit negative here, I know, but we have got to look at other things. One of the things we do pretty well now is our website, and you know, whatever people say, to a certain extent, our Facebook page. People put enormous effort into the website, I know that, and it's, you know, its attractiveness and its effectiveness has come and gone. You know, it might be worth looking at it again to see if we can find a way of not just capturing people's attention, but keeping people's attention when they come to the website, with a view perhaps to their sort of looking further than many of them no doubt do at what we have to say and at how we differ from other organizations that call themselves socialist. Thank you.
Do you want to come back on that at all, Freddie, or do you want me to move on?
Only, yes, thanks, Dan. Only in the sense that when I look at the results from the Cardiff and Folkestone there, I mean, I'm pleasantly surprised at the number of votes that the party got there. And whilst I did say earlier on, I'm not suggesting that they were all socialists that were voting for us, but is there some method or other that sort of thing, you get 60, 70, 80, 90 people voting for the socialist case. There must be something striking a chord there in the election manifesto or the election address that perhaps we could try and exploit in one form or another. I know I'm not coming up with actually what that idea of how to exploit it is, but when you have that number of many people voting for you, there must be something there, I think, that could be developed. Thanks.
Thanks, Freddie. I did put myself in the queue, but Mark's indicated he wishes to speak, so move on to Mark.
Thanks, Freddie, very much for stirring up this conversation, and thanks to Darren for chairing. I just actually was kind of inspired to contribute by something Howard said, and I think it's something we need to be thinking about, and that is he said that a debate between us and another party would sort of inevitably attract, you know, mainly our supporters and their supporters, but this is another thing that, you know, nothing that is done today should be done just for the people there, because the people there will be a handful. Because as we know, and I know I'm saying the obvious, but that kind of stuff can be a building blocks of material that we can actually put out onto YouTube or into other formats, as Jordan was referencing. I know myself that if I want to know on any subject, if I want to, you know on a controversial subject on YouTube, you go on YouTube. I mean, YouTube's full of debates, whether very often one-to-one debates, whether it's about religion or this or that. And, you know, one of the things we have to bear in mind, and again, it's very obvious, but the quality of what we can produce with even with our mobile phones now is like so far beyond anything that was ever able to be done before. So if we look at, let's say you want to go back and listen to the recordings of the previous debates that the party has had, which are, a lot of which is available on the website. Of course, you're listening to sort of, you know, grainy recordings, very often without video. And it's great. You're hearing people in a pub shouting at each other. I'm pretty sure that there weren't many neutrals there in some of the ones I've heard. Or you got some pretty, you know, dodgy type of videos from our current perspective, right? Well, anything that we say now, whether it's to a room of, you know, a hall of 500 or a room of five, doesn't make any difference, because the reach goes out through the internet. And so I think that, in fact, I have to say I actually disagree with Howard in the sense that, you know, we shouldn't really, you know, what happens in that event is something the effect of it can be multiplied many more times as we've done that in that we've used it, but probably in the past it was more ancillary, and now I think we should be thinking of it as being more the final. That's the, then you have a product that you can actually then, as it were, put out there. Sorry, I was going to say market. I almost dropped into capitalist language there, but you know, you've got something that you can say, oh yeah, you want to know about that issue? Yeah, we've got a debate here. And when you watch it, you know, as we know, YouTube is what Jordan says, a lot of people spend a lot of their time and get a lot of their info from YouTube or various other platforms. I have to say, I also was pretty enthused by what Jordan said about recording articles from the Socialist Standard. All the time in my mind is going around this issue: how do we recycle some of this glorious material that we have? We've got like the most incredible amount of material, and how do we recycle it? And I'm always thinking about printed stuff. Oh, maybe we should have an article reprinted, a golden theoretical article every month. There should be a one golden reprint. But Jordan's right. Why not have it have articles read and build a library of that kind of stuff? Because people all over the world are looking for resources, looking for answers to various questions. We're not the only people giving the answers. We're not the only people setting forth the anti-capitalist case, but we are distinguished by setting forward the socialist case, you know, in a great deal of detail. A lot of our energy is there. So, you know, I somehow feel that whatever we're thinking of doing, it can be, as it were, digitized. And then it adds incredible amounts of value to it, much more than perhaps we're used to thinking of, just partly because of the quality of what can be done, and also the orientation of people to that kind of thing nowadays.
Thanks for that contribution, Mark. Howard obviously also approves. Before I ask Freddie if he wants to come back in that again, if anybody wants to make contributions to the next discussion, if there's anyone who's in a position to answer some of the questions that Freddie's raised about the COPE conference in Glasgow, even if it's just to explain what it is and why the party's participating, etc., that would be appreciated. Thank you, Freddie.
I'd just like to say I was encouraged by Mark's response there. That was quite positive, that. Thanks.
Okay, Moggy's indicated that she wants to speak.
Hello. Moggy? Yeah, now a few years ago, the party put out a couple of very good DVDs. Haven't those been put onto the internet?
In my position as chair, I believe they have. Yeah, they have. Is there anything else you want to say, Moggy?
No. I think the internet is probably the way to go. But it's not just a case of putting on something audio. You've got to get somebody to provide something visual as well. So it means putting quite a bit of effort into this sort of thing. It's all very well someone giving an interesting talk, but if you want to grab people's attention, you've got to have something exciting for them to watch as well. So it might be worth casting around to see if more DVDs can be done, just short ones, up to 5 minutes or something, that can be put onto the internet.
Thank you, Moggy. Dougie's wanted to speak again. Dougie?
Yeah. I mean, I look at YouTube sometimes, and there's an honest government thing from people in Australia, you know, criticising the Conservative government over there. And they do it very well, you know, and I think it's a woman that presents it, really, you know, and the criticism is very good. We could do something similar, or, you know, honest government and criticise what goes on in Britain, and people could do that for other countries, America as well, really, you know. And I don't know. I mean, I think YouTube's one of the ways to go, really, you know. Yeah, I mean, just recommend that honest government with Australia. It's very funny, really, quite critical, really, but it's good. Yeah.
Thank you, Dougie. Eddie, do you want to make any contributions to what's been said? Or?
No, it's okay, Dan. Thanks.
I put myself in the queue a few times. Hopefully some other people want to contribute. My own thoughts are, for quite a while now, I've really liked the idea of the party doing a podcast. I really think that is something that we should explore. I understand that it maybe seems a bit daunting to start such a thing. But I think I suggested this to another comrade one time, maybe just like personally. But I think if the party region like kind of wondering how they could start this thing via the standards, you know, maybe if we're wanting to like try to do like a prototype of like a podcast, then maybe get a couple of writers for the, you know, the particular issue of the standard that month with someone sort of hosting the podcast, and they could discuss the content of the standard that month. Maybe somebody who's reviewed a book can go into more detail of the book itself, because we're all aware that sometimes the reviews are quite short. And just have a like a, an organic discussion come out of that. And you know, that could be the starting block, if you like, of a podcast. And then obviously, if and when these members get sort of more confident and, you know, and more involved in what they're doing, and then obviously branch out, you know, it's not just about the content, the standard, it could be about particular issues. The reason I think podcasts are important is because it's just a fact that it's a thing in so many people's lives right now. You know, people listen to podcasts when they're working now. Just think of that. People could actually listen to socialist propaganda whilst they're in a like a wee cubicle, alienated from, you know, the labour and capitalism, and they could be listening to a socialist party talk or discussion on alienation. You know, people like walk, you know, I listen to podcasts when I'm like doing my shopping, you know, when I'm walking to the store, you know what I mean? I understand, you know, we're all maybe older people here tonight, and maybe this isn't part of our lives, but there is generations behind us who are doing these things, you know, and once the podcast is there, as Jordan said in his opening contribution, there is so many outlets to place a podcast. I mean, you'd be surprised. And once it's there, it's there. You know, as long as the quality is good enough, someday 9 months from now, you could discover a podcast and check it out and listen to it. Whereas as much as I love the old party tradition of somebody speaking on a soapbox, that was just there in the here and now. We're talking about making content in the here and now, which people could benefit from, you know, years from now. You know, and I think that's one way of looking at it. Pick up on something that Mark said that I think was really good. You know, I think he was picking up on what somebody else said, the idea of articles going on YouTube. Take a wee dive into YouTube one time about political content. I'm not the person who could do this. I don't have the skills, but I've seen party members do talks on Discord where they've illustrated those talks, they provided slides, etc. And that's basically what you could do. You could basically produce like a 10-minute video of like a classic reprint of a socialist standard article, and you could actually basically illustrate it. So people could be listening to someone narrating that article whilst images are put before them. That's very powerful. You know, there's a reason why party political broadcasts are only 5 minutes or 10 minutes, because that's all we're prepared to like listen. You know, these are things that we could possibly investigate doing. You know, and again, once it's done, once it's on the internet, it's out there. We've released it, and people, again, you know, you'd be surprised how many people get the political debate, the political discussion from YouTube. And it just means that party members could just like bookmark these pages, and if anybody responds in terms of replies, you know, constructive replies, then party members can like be there to like to engage with these people, you know. So these are a couple of positive suggestions I think we could at least investigate. Thank you. I believe Moggy's in the queue now.
Dan, listen to you. What you've just said there, Dan, and I can see what Mark is put, Mark Z. See, I find that terribly encouraging, because, and I'll tell you why, to some extent, in that I know I mentioned podcasts, but I can see that the technology is playing more and more of a part and reaching out. I can see it. And I'm one of these older people that I'm just not accustomed to the extent many others are. So what you're saying there, I find terribly encouraging, and Mark seems to be supportive of that. And if that is something that could be developed, I don't know how many members could play in it. But yeah, it seems to be something worthwhile looking at. Thanks.
Thanks, Freddie. Moggy?
Okay, well, I'm in New Zealand, so I'm not sure how you do your radio programs over in Britain, but we had a regular weekly slot on a community radio station some years ago. And so it was only for about 20 minutes, which meant that we had to prepare a talk and maybe some music. And we would go down to the radio station and do that. Also, another thing we've done over here is, again, this was a few years ago, but we had our own wavelength where we could run our own radio station. That's a bit more labor intensive because you've got to keep coming up with new things to put on, and then choosing music. You've got to, well, we just stuck to old music that was out of copyright, so we didn't have to pay copyright on the music, and some pre-recorded talks that you can get. But you've got to have someone with the skills who can do this. But once it's set up, it was on a loop so that it just kept playing continuously. And then every now and then, someone with the skills would change the content. So I don't know whether you can do that sort of thing, but that's a way of reaching people. When we did the one on the community radio station, we used to arrange for various party members to ring in asking questions, hoping that would spark off other people, but it never did. It was really, you know, just us ringing in and asking questions that we hoped other people would respond to. So, you know, maybe you could do that sort of thing. It does reach people.
Thanks for that contribution, Noggy. Currently, there's no other people. Oh, wait a minute, Paddy just popped up. Paddy, would you like to speak?
Well, interesting discussion. I suppose inevitably with this sort of thing, you know, things are going to pop up that, you know, have been discussed before. And so, you know, people aren't going to be surprised to hear that this idea of podcasts has been talked about before, YouTube videos, this kind of thing. Even the idea of reading standard articles was mooted in the Social Standard Editorial Committee. The idea was that we could get how hard would it be to get the writers of articles to, you know, spend 10 minutes reading their article into a sort of digital recorder? And, well, it didn't seem like it would be that hard, but presumably some writers wouldn't want to do that. So you'd need volunteers. In fact, you need volunteers with the sort of right skill set, really, because, I mean, not everyone can make a podcast. Not everyone can make a YouTube video. You know, there's a certain voice for radio, isn't there? And there's a voice for podcasts and things like that. But what bothers me is that, you know, we get a lot of new young members. Well, not a lot, but we get some new young members who join the party who probably would be quite good at this. And somehow we're not really engaging those people. We're not getting them on the case. You know, I don't know why we're not doing that. But, you know, often people join online and they sort of drift off again. And I wonder if we're missing a trick, really, with these new young members who have definitely got the skills and the, you know, probably the skill set as well. So, you know, when we're talking about, oh, we should do this, we should do that. I mean, I'm just saying, we have had a lot of these discussions before. There is an audiovisual committee at the moment. But, you know, and we did try to do some YouTube videos, but you'd be amazed how hard it is. You know, people try to do videos, but, you know, they failed because the lighting was all bad. And it's not, these aren't things that sort of normal people, if I can use that term, normal people think about. You know, when you're doing a recording, you don't think about where's the light hitting me, you know, and this kind of thing. Or am I sort of, you know, changing my sort of intonation so it doesn't come out as a monotone. You know, these sort of things, it's quite tricky to do. So there is an idea of when the, you know, restrictions are eased and we can sort of feasibly do it, to have a kind of, well, for the audiovisual people to actually go round to people's houses, you know, visit them and do the video there and that sort of thing. So, I mean, it's not like we've forgotten about it, but, you know, I wouldn't underestimate the difficulties. It's not good. It's no good to just say, oh, let's have podcasts. Podcasts would be great. Yeah, they would, but we need the people to do them, the people to write them, the people to deliver them, the technical skills, all that sort of thing. It's not that easy. Just one other thing, just very briefly, I wanted to say about Discord activity. Before Discord, activity tended to be quite sort of branch-based. And I think the value of what Freddie's been talking about tonight is that, you know, how have things changed in the last year? Well, I think, I think they've changed by the very fact of us having real-time discussions, irrespective of branches, irrespective of countries even. And I think that has been potentially really powerful. The only sad thing about that is that approximately 70% of the voting membership of the party hasn't used Discord, hasn't really been involved in it. And I would think if we wanted to do one really useful practical thing, it would be to try and get this 70% involved as well. Not for having online meetings where we're just talking to each other, but for organisation, for committee organisation, and for the sort of branch collaborations that Freddie was talking about. I think we need to get that silent majority involved in this process as well. Anyway, that's me.
Thanks for that, Paddy. Before I call on Jordan, does Freddie wish to reply to anything that's been just said?
I'll try and keep it brief again. I did mention a comrade earlier on who I don't know the full extent of these skills, etc., but I do know that he does a lot of recording work in the studios. And when I spoke to him last week, because he comes on to Zoom from time to time, albeit he's not actually living in Sheffield right now because he's working down south, or further south than Sheffield, he'd been quite happy. Well, he's told me he'd be quite happy to try and help out wherever he can. And, you know, after this is over, I mean, I'll certainly keep in touch about this thing about seeing where we can perhaps collaborate with Paddy mentioned there earlier on. Because I know when I was talking to a comrade in the Northeast branch, he was quite happy about trying to see where we can interact, the branches can interact more with each other and plan ahead. So, yeah, thanks for that.
Okay, Freddie, Jordan's next.
Yeah. All right. So Paddy has obviously has a point. You need people to do things. One thing I'm going to say that I definitely disagree with that he said is that you need a certain voice to do podcasts or YouTube videos. I swear to God, you don't. One thing people need to stop. I think we have enough people here, as small as we are compared to a lot of other parties. I think we have enough people here, you know, that know more about socialism and stuff than the average person, you know, and I feel like people just need to stop doubting themselves. Like, I think most people are afraid of sucking, you know, and like you have to stop. Like, I promise you, there's so many people who are only have a fan base on YouTube or in music or anything because they didn't care what anybody else thought and because they were willing to be consistent. You know, like the only reason I know how to do anything I know how to do right now, and I'm not a god at anything by any means, but I'm like, I know I have a few different skills as far as like media because I wasn't afraid to suck at first, you know, like, and I got good eventually, at least at some things relatively, you know, man, I just think people just need to be willing to learn. Like, again, YouTube, man, I everything I know how to do, I want to do this. How do I do this? I just look it up on YouTube, you know, like as I go. Yeah, I'm not really the type of person who can sit in front of a computer and like watch 8 tutorials for 8 hours. Like I'm a learn as I go type of person. And, you know, like maybe other people might do it differently, but I think everybody here might be able to contribute something. I mean, no pressure, obviously, but like, yeah, man, I just feel like that's something that's a ball that's like really being left on the table. like that, that has to be picked up at some point. You know, again, somebody mentioned before, I think it was right before Patty, that it is daunting, but like, again, bro, like you got, it doesn't matter. Like if it sucks, like you, Patty mentioned like somebody not wanting to post a video because of lighting or something. If you see my first music video I edited, it's trash, but you know what? It taught me, you know, like I learned, there's only one way to learn certain skills, and that's by doing it, you know, and sucking for years, possibly. There was a great a quote from, I think it was one of the singers or the drummer or something from Nirvana. He's like, bro, we were in the garage and we sucked for years. We just sucked and sucked and sucked until we got good. And that's how we became Nirvana. You know, and like, that's one. Yeah, man. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of ranting at this point. But yeah, that's just, I feel like people need to get over that hump of like fear. Like, for example, I've been dogpiled on Twitter a couple times for like some of my takes on things. And like one thing people keep telling me is that like my covers for the World Socialists suck, but I don't care. I know they suck, but I'm learning. Like, you know, like they're not as gas as like some covers like Jacobin, but I know that I'm learning as I go, you know, and eventually if I keep doing this for a couple more years, they're going to be dope, you know, like. And yeah, that's just the way I think people need to think of anything. Like, you know, it's not about being good right now. It's about getting the content out and getting and learning. You know, Mark, me and him were just messaging. One thing I do a lot is I'll be in like Twitter spaces. I don't know if you guys, a lot of you guys are on Twitter enough, but like, it's basically like, it's like a conversation. You just get on and you just, you know, shoot the shit with people. You might debate, you know, you might just, I don't know, crack jokes at each other. But, you know, yeah, I do that a lot. And, you know, people listen, you know, people like to hear other people speak about, you know, things, you know, and yeah, that's another thing that maybe you guys could use the party Twitter page for, maybe like making Twitter spaces to like have conversations or debates or something with like other organizations or something, you know, like you, and I'm just thinking outside the box here. Another thing, oh man, I lost it. I was in like my flow and I lost. There was one more thing. I forgot to mention. All right. Well, if I remember, I'll come back. But yeah, that's basically my rant. Stop being afraid to suck, and we should probably start using Twitter Spaces more.
Thanks for that contribution, Jordan. That positive contribution. Thank you. Adam Buick's up next. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. Paddy has raised a point. I was going to wait until the end. To raise, that is the future of Discord. I mean, obviously it's going to continue and it should continue, but in what form? Now, I've been the person organizing these Friday night meetings, and this meeting was supposed to be the first one after so-called Freedom Day in Britain, but of course it's now been postponed. Until Freedom Day has been postponed until July the 19th. So I've fixed up a program of five speakers for July. But what do we do after that? Do we want to continue a meeting on a Friday night? Do we want to continue them on a monthly basis? I noticed that when we had a meeting on Sunday morning with Mike Charity in Japan, we still had the same number of people as we have on a Friday night. So there are other possibilities that presumably people don't go to church on a Sunday morning. So that is a slot which we could use. But anyway, for the moment, as I say, I've fixed up meetings on a Friday night until the end of July. Now after that, nothing's been fixed up yet. But the first meeting in August, of course, is the summer school. But I was thinking just in terms of organizing two meetings, you know, general meetings like this a month. Obviously, Discord will continue for branch meetings and committee meetings, executive committee meetings, and so on. But what do people here think? Do we want to continue organizing a meeting every Friday or even every Sunday morning, you know, like we've been doing, or should we organize less now on the assumption that people will be doing other things when they're free to do it? Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Adam. Whilst people are getting over, chewing over what Adam was talking about with regards to the future of Discord, I'd like to call on Joe next. Thank you.
All right, it's just to commend Jordan for his, I suppose, his
I think he's given us a lot of interesting ideas, and it's trying to get over this fear of failure sort of thing. But thank you, Jordan. Some good points there, and in terms of the lighting and the voice. I mean, yeah, thank you. Commend your contribution. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Okay, I believe Moggy's now.
I just wanted to say I would love these Friday night chats to keep going, because it's a chance for me to join in. So just that's purely from a selfish point of view, but I enjoy having a chat to you all. If we can keep it going, and this time of the week seems to suit me all right. So if you can do that, I know you're very keen to get back to normal. What you call normal, how things were before the pandemic. I think this is a very good group, and it gives us a chance to all put ideas forward and interact with one another. So yes, please keep this group going at this time. It's excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgie. Paula's next.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Oh, good. Because last time I was on here, my voice wasn't working. Okay, that's good. It was just in response to Adam. Personally speaking, I would prefer Sunday mornings. I think Fridays are difficult, especially now we're in the summer months and as we go into easing of lockdown. I think for a lot, you know, for some of us that are at work all week, you know, on a Friday night, we just want to, you know, we want a bit of escapism, we want to relax. Whereas on a Sunday, we might feel a bit, I don't know, not religious exactly, but, you know, have that kind of feeling of wanting to change the world. But, you know, I accept entirely Morgan's point about, you know, we've got to accommodate, you know, our comrades across the world. So it's basically a question of coming up with a time, isn't it, that suits people in America and New Zealand and Japan. But I definitely would want to see these discussions continue, absolutely. I think they've been an absolute lifeline to the party. Maybe once a week, it's hard to find a speaker every time. But, you know, if we could at least try for a minimum of once a fortnight, that would be fantastic. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Paula. Before I call on Steve again, Freddie, do you want to come back on anything that's been said since you last spoke?
Yeah, thanks. I certainly subscribe to the view about keeping Discord going in one format or another, whether it be a Friday night. Sunday mornings, I'm not so sure about, but Friday nights. But just picking up on this question of the organisation. I mean, I know myself how difficult it is in trying to do things. For example, organising Zoom meetings for those members in the Yorkshire area is emailing them first of all to try and find out what day is best for them. So I'm aware that, you know, some will say a Sunday, some will say a Tuesday, some will say a Wednesday. And trying to get us all together at the one time is not without its difficulties. So I do recognise the difficulty in trying to organise these things. Thanks.
Thank you, Freddie. Steve's next, and if anybody else wants to add themselves to the queue, please do so.
Definitely in favour of keeping online meetings going, but I wonder if... I don't think we ought to get particularly fixated about having party meetings on Discord, because there are as the people who are working in administering this, it seems to be an extremely difficult interface for people to use. So I want to keep, I think we could keep it, we ought to keep Discord for party business meetings, but I think we ought to think about using something like Zoom or something like Jitsi, which you've probably never heard of, for future public meetings. And we have actually got a professional Zoom, because I've just renewed a subscription to it, so it's available to the party to use. And I think it's a far easier piece of software to use. This, a lot of people seem to have, well, they seem never to turn up on, or even people who've indicated an interest in joining up to the system, when they've been sent invitations, they just haven't joined. And it's something that really strikes me as strange. I don't no explanation for why it's happening, but I reckon that we need to go to a different platform for public meetings. And I also, and sorry, that's a very boring technical point for you. But the other thing is, I definitely think that we need to change from a Friday night, because now that things are opening up, This is when we want to go out and enjoy ourselves as well in capitalism. You know, I want to go to music and stuff like that when things get going again. So I think it's a pretty inconvenient time, but I do like the idea that we have times for our that are convenient for our international comrades. Unfortunately, Paula, you can't make a time that's convenient to people in the US and people in India. I'm afraid it's just physically impossible to do that. However, at least, yeah, okay, I'll leave it at that.
Okay, thank you, Steve. Howard's next.
In response to Adam's question, I think we should carry on with these discussions if at all possible. I mean, for some people who come on this platform, it's the only opportunity they get to interact with, to come into contact with other party members. So I think, in one way or the other, these talks should carry on. Whether they should be on a Friday or a Sunday morning or whenever, I'm not sure. Possibly there can be alternation, something like that. But, just as Steve said, you're never going to find a time that's convenient for different people in different parts of the world. You're never going to find the same time that's convenient for everyone in this part of the world. So, there are going to be occasions, for example, when some people in Lancaster can't come to a meeting that I can come to, and vice versa. What was the other thing I was going to say? Anyway, I think we should, if possible, carry on with these meetings. I think they've been an enormous success. I think, our gratitude should go to the people who've organised them. It's been a tremendous achievement, and it's sort of opened up things to a lot of people who didn't know that there were groups of people like this, groups of party members who were prepared to discuss things together and give some shall we say personal life to the socialist case, that so that it didn't just remain an abstract proposition that maybe it appeared to them to be before. Thank you.
Paula, would like to speak again?
Yeah, at work sometimes for our trade union meetings, we recently had a thing where we all had to vote on what was the best time to have our trade union meeting. Maybe we could have a party poll, or some kind of electronic voting amongst ourselves about when's the best time to have these kind of discussions. Thank you.
Yeah. Before I call on Mark, Ronnie's obviously thinking along the same lines as Paula, because he's written in the chat, What about an email with a voting button and the two most popular alternated bi-weekly? So, you know, just Ronnie's just throwing that out there. Mark, next.
Yeah, I have a proposal slash request regarding how we would, label these meetings going forward when the SPGB and other companion parties can get back to physical meetings. I was actually thinking that we could actually call this meeting a meeting of the World Socialist Movement, so a WSM meeting. And I think that would be very important to, since it will be in parallel with the as it were, the physical life of the various parties, in parallel with the branch life of those parties where that exists outside of the SPGB. But the point is that it means that, for example, somebody in Australia or somebody in Poland or Russia, you know, wouldn't be coming to a national party meeting. They would be coming to an international party meeting. And it strikes me that that would make it easier for anyone to come to that meeting. It would also help us to recognize the fact that we actually are part of the World Socialist Movement, not only members of an individual locally, nationally based party. So that's my proposal slash request, to think about how we can actually repackage the meeting in terms of in terms of that promotion of it.
Thank you for that, Mark. Paul has written in the queue. I second that, Mark. I'm presuming Adam's listening to all these contributions one of the comrades who's organised these meetings. And I presume there's a committee that also has some sort of relationship with Discord, and hopefully they can sort of take on board what's been said and, you know, maybe come back, you know, both to the participants here tonight, but also to other party members who usually attend but can't tonight, and, you know, maybe reach some understanding in the coming weeks. There's no one else in the queue right now. Does anybody wish to add their name? Give you a couple of seconds.
Hi, Darren. Is it okay for me to butt in? I can't get into the speech. Hello.
Okay. Is that Joy?
Yeah, it is. Hi.
Joy first.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who organises these meetings, because I know a lot of work goes into it. And I'd like to also say that for somebody who lives in the middle of nowhere, like me, these meetings have been an absolute lifeline. You know, I actually really look forward to them. So if they could carry on, I would be absolutely delighted. And I also hope in future to be able to contribute something. I just need to sort of work up the courage. But thanks to everybody. Okay, that's my bit.
Thank you, Joy. Howard, you're next in the queue, but can I actually call on Earth Socialist Mike, because he's not spoken yet tonight? Is that okay?
No problem. Thank you, Howard. Just to have some idea, there's two people in the US. The local time here is 21:03 BST. That's 9:03 p.m. p.m. What time is it in your place, Jordan? What's your local time? And Moggy, what's your local time? I want to have some idea of the time spread before I say anything else.
Jordan, are you there?
Well, you can do it. You're at the same place.
I was on my phone. What happened?
I didn't catch that.
Jordan. What time is it in Las Vegas right now?
It's 1:04 p.m.
Okay, and it's...
It's daylight.
It's 4:04 in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Right. And Moggy, what time is it in your place? It's Saturday morning, right. So you start at 6:30 in the morning on these meetings.
That's right. It's an early start. Me, but that's okay, because then it gives me the rest of the day if I want to go out somewhere.
Okay, well, thank you all for that. I'll think about that. I'd like the meetings to continue, for the meetings, most people have said, it keeps us together. And that is very interesting, because it's nice to actually talk to people and not, you know, be stuck in. I think we're going to, well, I'm a pessimist, I think we're going to be stuck in for another 6 months, the way things are going. But that's just looking at the local numbers in England. They're going up again. They'll go around the rest of the world. But I'd like to say, keep it going, and I'll work out something at those times and maybe have it for the next meeting, whenever it is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Howard, next.
I thought we were perhaps coming to an end. That's why I wanted to say what I was going to say. I'll say it anyway. It's just that to go right back to the sort of topic of this meeting that Freddie introduced, I'm on the emailing list of an American publisher called OR, an American radical publisher, OR Books. And they've just published a book, which they've sent notice of, called The Art of Activism. And it's described by Douglas Rushkoff, who readers of the Standard may know. He's written several books about human nature, really, which very much support the party's case. And Rushkoff calls this book a thrilling invitation, an actionable playbook for anyone willing to retrieve their autonomy, open minds, and fight the power. There's a bit of rhetoric there, I know, but the subtitle of The Art of Activism, written by Steve Duncombe and Steve Lambert, is Your All-Purpose Guide to Making the Impossible Possible. So probably worth somebody, me perhaps, getting hold of this, or anybody else, and seeing whether there are ideas here which can help with the kind of thing that Freddie has addressed here this evening. The Art of Activism, anyway, this book is called. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Howard. What I suggest is, Janet's not spoken yet, so I'll call on Janet next, and then I'll call on Adam after that, because Adam's obviously had a few replies to his inquiry. And then, unless on anybody else, I would call on Freddie to obviously, you know, like, close the meeting with concluding remarks, etc. So, Janet?
Thank you. I'm fear following on from other party members because my hearing's not so good, and I'm afraid I might sort of say things that they have already said much better, but I can't worry too much about that. I think that Mike in Japan mentioned about Sunday morning being a good time for him. So I don't envy any party members, Adam or whoever, wants to program a set of meetings that fits all the times. I don't think it can be done, but it could be done by alternating in some way, so that one part of one meeting in 1 month is Japanese time and another is American time, New Zealand time. I mean, Moggy's sounds really good, because for her, she can come to the party meeting and then go off with her brain full of things that we have said, which is another thing that these meetings are good for. They're like a brainstorming. They can be like a brainstorming session, can't they, where we can get together and bring out ideas about what to do. Freddie sort of started that process off tonight, really. The other thing is, I'm in North London branch, which for a long time has had a table somewhere in Holloway Road, which is a really, really busy road, but they managed to get a spot somehow, some way. And I think they've got a regular, or had a regular passers-by who were taking notice of them. I don't know that anyone's joined the branch from that activity, but they certainly put the time and effort in, and they're planning on starting it again soon. And there's four or five of those members in that part of London who are in that branch and are able to get together. They're having a lunch soon, which is lovely. But for me, although I'm in North London branch, I'm way out in a part of Essex on the edge of London, but I can't travel in anyway. And So I hope that they will continue to have some branch meetings online so that I can hear what they're all talking about. Or maybe they could take a machine with them to the lunch table and I could hear what they're saying there. And that's one of the things that I was joining on the others who were saying how wonderful these meetings have been, really. And yes, a big thank you to anyone and everyone who's been part of the organisation of them, because it's lovely to hear party members and throughout the country as well, because we didn't do that when we had physical meetings even. So I think that's good. I don't think we can do without physical meetings, and I do think they should continue to happen sometime, some way. But these meetings are lovely. And the idea that Mark said about the World Socialist Movement, I think that's good, because it's good because it's the future. We don't have to be parochial anymore, because we are a World Socialist Party, and we can now, because of this technology, meet on a world scale, and that's nice as well. I don't envy the people who are going to try to organise a meeting that's going to, well, there isn't one that can suit every time, all the time, but we can vary it a little bit with a bit of effort. And I think spoken to my family, who are quite a lot younger, and they are talking about this Facebook and YouTube and goodness knows whatever else that I know not of, but I'm sure there are many of us who are aware and are capable of dealing with those channels, and maybe can give a bit of instruction to the rest of us as to how to do it. I remember, I think I was on the EC at the time when Paddy was involved in the production of the DVD, and there was an awful lot of fuss about that. Went on for ages, and I believe, I'm not sure, and I stand to be corrected on this, but I believe there was a bit of fuss about actually paying somebody to do some technical work on the production, and it was done, and it's a very good DVD, isn't it? And more like that might be good. So all power to our elbows. Thank you.
Thank you, Janet. Just call on Adam to make his contribution.
No, I think we can take on board straight away. As from August, Mark's suggestion that these meetings should be billed as the World Socialist Movement rather than just the SPGB. There seems to be a popular demand to continue them, so I'll try and organise some meetings for August, if only to see, every week in August, if only to see what will happen once so-called Freedom Day arrives. Maybe one could be organised a month on a Sunday morning, so we can reassess this again in September in the light of what happens in August. And while I got the floor to reply to Howard's point, the party is also on this mailing list of OR books. So we can write off for a review copy for you if you like. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Adam. There's no one else in the queue, so I'd like to call on Freddie, you know, just if he wants to make any final remarks or, you know, reply to any points raised since he last spoke. Thank you.
Okay, listen, thanks, Darren, for chairing the meeting, and thanks to all of you for making your contributions tonight. It certainly has created some interest, some new ideas, etc., which hopefully may in due course start to evolve, whether or not it be Discord or Zoom or whatever it may be. I'm sure we'll still get an attentive audience to this. So, you know, there isn't a great deal more, I think, I really have to say, other than, I'm still greatly encouraged. People are coming up with ideas, and we'll see where it starts to travel in due course. So thanks very much for your time tonight, and we'll probably be speaking to each other next week again sometime. So. Good night, all.